September 26th, the movie that we've been waiting for comes out. It's called Fireproof, from the makers of Facing the Giants. And so as I thought about that movie, and you know, that's talking, the movie really is about fireproofing your marriage. I thought, you know, there are some other things that we need to fireproof. And so I want to take this month in September and talk about things, different things in our life that we need to fireproof. Would you turn this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll begin reading with verse 9 and read down through verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 9 through 11. Wherefore we labor that present, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. And then over, or back actually, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I want to talk to you today on fireproofing your work, or fireproofing your reward. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word this morning. May this be a challenge and a time of reflection upon our lives. Lord, I want to also today pray, lift up Ellen Schellenberg to you, ask that you would touch her and heal her. She's at home today, and for Danelle Jetlin, who had surgery this week, Lord, that you would touch her and bring healing to her, and for any other members of our congregation here who need our prayers, going through a trial of something physical or mental or emotional or spiritual, Lord, that you would just meet with them today and make them whole. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you realize that you are only a heartbeat away from a fixed state of reward? Whether that reward is joy or shame, we are one heartbeat away from a fixed state. Just one heartbeat, just one breath away from what you will be for all of eternity. It's kind of a chilling verse. It's found in Revelation chapter 22, and it's verse 11. It says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Fixed state. Fixed state in eternity. You know, the more and more I begin to think about this fixed state, realizing that where I take off in this time, I take up an eternity. What I am at the end of this life, I will be in eternity. As a man lives, he dies. And as he dies, he lives again in that condition throughout all eternity, just one heartbeat away from a fixed state of reward. If my heart should take one last beat, and I come into that fixed state of reward, is this the place that I want to be? Am I right now where I want to be? Realizing that there is nothing that can change it after that, I'm going to, right now, determine my existence in eternity. Whatever I am going to do for the Lord has to be done on this side of the heartbeat. Because once my heart stops, that's it. I cannot do anything for the Lord. And our bodies, in one way or another, determines our fate, our condition, on the other side of that heartbeat. And so as Paul writes to these Christians at Corinth, his mind is traveling to what we call the judgment seat of Christ. And he recognizes that all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there we will receive rewards for the good or the evil that has been done, the good or the bad. So the most important issue is not whether I live or die, but it is what my condition will be before the judgment seat of Christ. This issue is more important than the issue of life and death. Whether I live or whether I die, that's really beside the point. That's going to happen. It's going to take place. Whether I live or die, I labor, I work, I make it my ambition, the aim of my life, so that when I stand in His presence, I will be well-pleasing to Him. That's what I want to do. That's why I want this life to count, so that when I stand before God, I will be pleasing to Him. He will say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear those words more than anything else, even that this life has to offer. And I think we have to live with that thought in mind, that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will do it someday. We'll receive rewards, and we'll have the opportunity to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, he's not talking about that judgment that is reserved for those who do not know Christ. This is not a judgment of unbelievers. This is a judgment for believers. This has nothing to do with where we will spend eternity. It has nothing to do about going to heaven or hell, your reward of heaven or the eternal punishment of hell. It has nothing to do that. He's talking about a judgment seat for all believers, in which all believers will someday appear. The Christian is not going to be judged himself as to determine whether he is saved or lost. It's not a matter of salvation. It's a matter of stewardship. You know, I thank God that Jesus said, "He that believeth on me shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death unto life." As Paul says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Okay? This is not a judgment to determine your eternal destiny, because the one who condemns is Jesus Christ, but he's not condemning his followers. He's not condemning those who have trusted and received him for their salvation. He is interceding for them. He is cheering them on. He's rooting for them. So the condemnation is past. Those things were judged at Calvary. And I myself, though, cannot be judged, but my life and my works will be judged. What I have done for Christ, what I have done as a Christian, will be judged. The Greek word he uses here for judgment seat is the word bema, which comes from the athletic games they used to have in those days. The bema was where the judge sat. And all the participants in the games would come and stand before this bema judgment. They would come and stand before this judge. And the judge would offer them prizes or awards for the things that they were able to accomplish. Their wreaths, crowns, trophies, whatever they did to receive them, they got those at the bema seat, at the judgment seat. God uses the same word here to say that the Christian, as he lives his life, is living in sight of that judge. And when life is finished, when that last heartbeat has been taken, we will all be stand before that bema, that judgment seat of Christ, where he will reward us according to the things that are done in the body, whether it be good or bad. You know, as I think about that, I think it's going to be a day of great revelation. A day of great revelation. The word appear doesn't simply mean to put in an appearance. It doesn't mean to just show up. I will make my appearance at the judgment seat. I will show up there. The Greek word means we will be led into the light. It means to be turned inside out. It means to be put on display. It means to prove us, to prove our character, to prove our motives. So the judgment seat will be a time of revelation. As Paul says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. It shall be revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul says that we will be led into the light of Christ of that judgment seat. Our lives will be examined. The light will be turned on in our lives. And we will be examined in the light of God. We will appear. Our works will be made manifest. Our works will be made known. They will be revealed. You see, what it's really talking about is every intent and motive will be laid bare and stripped away. Every pretense will be ripped from us. We will stand before the judgment seat and we will be turned inside out. We will be able to see us for exactly the way that we are on the inside. You know, the light down here is bad. I tend to base my goodness on others. And it's always so easy to find that we are better than other people. So I judge my life in the light of maybe your life or the life of someone else. And I think I'm pretty good. And hardly a week goes by that I don't hear somebody, you know, say, well, nobody is perfect. And that's true, nobody is perfect. But what we are saying is that compared to other people, I'm better than they are. And we judge ourselves in light of other people. And we think, you know, I'm a pretty good Christian. I've been saved 15, 20 years. I was baptized. I joined a church. I come to church on Sunday. What else is there? Can I tell you that the Christian life is so much more than that? The Christian life is not just something we live on Sundays. Not just something we do on Sundays. Not just an obligation to come to church and meet the requirements of the church. The scripture that I read a while ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says that he will try every man's work of what sort it is. Notice it doesn't say anything about size. He's not going to try every man's work to see what size it is. He said he's going to try every man's work to see what sort it is. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Again, the word here means to be dragged out into the light and to be shown its true nature. Everything we've done will be weighed in the balances. God is not trying to figure out how big it is, the quality or the quantity of what we've done, but really the quality of what we've done. And here's the thing. If your life as a whole is not lived for the glory of God, can I just be honest with you this morning? Because this is one of the most important things you will ever hear. It's one of the most important things to ever happen to you, to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You only got this life to get it right. If your life as a whole is not lived for Christ, you're not ready for the judgment seat. You're not ready to stand before God. You're not ready to be judged. And so, God wants us to live our whole life as a sweet-smelling savor, as a beautiful fragrance for Him, for His glory. The biggest problem that I have, be honest with you this morning, okay? Since our thoughts are going to be intense, are going to be narrated, known at the judgment scene anyway. The biggest problem that I have in my Christian life is evaluating my motives, why I preach, why I teach, why I live for Christ. Why do I do that? What is my motive for doing that? And what a day of revelation it's going to be for all of us as our motives are exposed and we are laid bare. It's going to be a time of revelation. It's also going to be, secondly, a time of rewarding. Notice what Paul says, everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And the purpose of this judgment seat is to reward us. It's to give rewards. Notice that everybody is going to receive something. I've heard it preached and taught that only those who are good and faithful to the Lord are going to receive anything. But verse 10 says that everybody is going to receive something. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Everybody is going to be receiving something. I suppose somebody might receive a booby prize, but they'll get something. Notice what they are going to receive. The things done in their bodies. It's interesting. But I kind of look at it this way. Every day, I'm building up a bank account in heaven. Every day, I'm putting things into that bank account. Everything goes into that account. On the day of judgment, God is going to open that account, and I'll be judged on the basis of what I've put in that account. The things that I have done in this life, in this body. It's interesting to notice that the word bad doesn't mean sinful or evil. It means worthless, trite, trivial. Okay, so some of the things that we do, according to the Lord, are trivial things, worthless things, trite things. Those will be known at the judgment seat. Some are going to suffer loss at that judgment seat of Christ, not because they did things that were bad or evil or sinful, but they did the things that were worthless as far as God was concerned. Now, please understand that God has laid the foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And we are to build our lives upon that foundation. Build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And God gives us, now here's different materials that you can use to build that house, to build that life, to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He says some people are going to need to use gold and silver and precious stones for their foundation. And other people are going to use wood, hay, and stubble. Okay, so we're all erecting a home, a tabernacle of our lives. Some are going to give things that cost them something. Material things, things that cost them something, something that they have to sacrifice for it. You know, somebody was going to give David something one time and let him offer that to the Lord. And David said, no, I will not give to the Lord anything that does not cost me something. And so we can build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, things that are costly, things that cost us something, things that are a sacrifice to make. But you know, over here is another Christian. He says, now let's not get too fanatical about this thing. You can't go overboard. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And the main thing is that the foundation has been laid. So they don't want to sacrifice. They want to keep the gold and the silver and the precious stones in for themselves and build their life with it. And then they'll take the wood, hay, and stubble, and offer those on that foundation of life to the Lord. You know, the worthless stuff. The prime time of my life I'll use it my way, the way I want to use it. I'll take the bad times, the worthless things, and I'll give the exhaust to Christ. I'll burn all the fuel in my own life and give the exhaust to Christ. You know, just kind of give him the leftovers. And those are the ones that are building with wood, hay, and stubble. You know, and every one of you this week built something upon that foundation. You put something into your account this week. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What was it? God will try every man's work of what sort it is. I would like to know now if what I am building on is eternal. I don't want to wait to the judgment seat and find out that my works are going to be burned up, that all I had was wood, hay, and stubble. I'd rather find out now if my work is genuine or not. I thought you might want to too, so that's why I thought I'd preach this message this morning. But how to fireproof your life so that the works that you do and the rewards that you have, you will be assured of when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So God will try every man's work by fire. Here's a man who has built a house. The Lord comes to see what kind of house he has built. Let's see how much this house has meant to you. How much were you willing to sacrifice and put into this house? He sets a match to it. The fire rages through the house. The only thing left standing would be the things that were well built. The things that were built with gold and silver and precious stone. The steel girders are still there, but the wood, hay, and stubble, they're all gone. They all burned up. And then Paul says, if a man's work abides, he will receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he'll suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Greek is that he shall be saved through fire. It's a picture of a man caught in a burning house. He runs through the fire, gets out, and says, thank God, I'm saved, I made it, I escaped. But he looks back, and everything that he possessed is now gone. It has been burned up. It's gone up in smoke. And so he comes out with nothing. His soul is saved, yes. He gets to heaven, yes, but he doesn't have any reward. He lost it all. He lost all of the reward. Paul is saying that's the way it's going to be at the judgment seat for some. They themselves will be saved. They'll make it, but all of their works will be burned up. They weren't fireproofed. They were the works that were done without sacrifice. They were the works that were done with wrong motives. They were the works that were done for the praise and the applause of men rather than the praise and the applause of God. All that's left is the smoke. Do you understand why the Bible says that we need to live with eternity in mind? Why we must be focusing on those things that are eternal? Why our security must be in the eternal things that cannot be destroyed or taken away from us? Why we just don't live for temporary pleasures and pursuits? It'll be a time of revelation. It'll be a time of reward. But number three, it'll be a time of regret. Ye shall suffer loss. 1 John 2:28 says that some will be ashamed before him at his coming. Many might have it all in this life, but be paupers before the judgment seat of Christ. The reason is that God is judging our lives as a whole. And I'll finish real quickly here, but this is very important. Many of us have the idea that God is going to reward us like prizes at a carnival. Have you ever gone to a carnival? Have you ever gone to the fair and played those games? You know, Robbery Row, where those games are tricky games, they're rigged. You know, the basketball barely fits through the hoop. It has to be a perfect shot, and if you hit just a little bit either way, it's going to just, and it's real bouncy, bounces out. You know, I used to play those games, and I was such that I would not walk away empty-handed. So I might spend $50 to get a $2 prize or something like that. But after all the money I spent, I got to have something to show for it. Knock the milk bottles off, win the teddy bear, take the gun, throw the hoop around the bottles. Got to have something. I don't want to go away empty-handed. A lot of us think the judgment seat might be like this. You know, I remember one time I prayed. I thought, God will reward me for this prayer. Or I thought, I invited my neighbor to church. God will give me a little prize for that. Now, every good deed is rewarded. But I also think that there is some truth in the fact that God will take into account all the deeds done in the body and judge them as a whole, as a unit. So, we're going to receive a reward. God is going to take your life as a whole. He's going to judge it. And you say, what is that reward then? Well, there are a lot of rewards that are mentioned in the Bible. And to be quite honest with you, I don't really know what all the rewards are at the judgment seat. But I can tell you what I believe the most important reward is. Jesus himself talked about that time of judgment. Here was the reward that he himself offered. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, to me, the streets of gold and the mansion on the hilltop really aren't going to mean much unless I hear the words from my Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Unless I really have his approval, those other things really don't matter much. If I get there and I see all of my works burned up, a lifetime of works burned up in smoke, and I suffer the loss of all things, I don't think I'm going to be real happy just to know that I made it. And I can walk the streets of gold and I can live in my mansion. Because more important to me than those things is the face of my Savior. To look at him and to behold him and to see him and see his eyes of approval looking back at me. That's really what I want to see. That's what I long for. There's a song that says, "Must I go an empty-handed?" There will be people at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll be there, but they'll be empty-handed. No rewards, no crowns, no victories. You've got the chance right now, before that heart beats its last beat, to assure that you will have rewards that will last through the fire, rewards that are fireproofed, that will stand the test of fire. So would you just take a few moments this morning to evaluate your lives, asking the Holy Spirit to put the light on and show you what exactly your works are made of: gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. And just say, "Holy Spirit, I would like to know. I would like to know right now. And would you just remind me of any wrong motives in my life so that someday I can stand in the presence of my Savior, have him look at my life, and say, 'Well done.'" Listen, if Christ cannot pronounce "well done" upon your life right now, if he cannot do it right now, then he cannot pronounce "well done" upon your life at the judgment seat. As you leave this life, you enter that life in the same condition, in a fixed state of reward. So right now, God is judging you and me. You and me. What is the pronouncement he would make on your life right now? Would he look at you and your life and say, "Well done? Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? This month we're going to be fireproofing some things, and the first thing I want us to fireproof is our work. I want us to fireproof our work. I want us to fireproof our reward. What is God's pronouncement? What do you think God's pronouncement would be on your life right now? Right now. If you can say he would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," then I just applaud you and encourage you to just keep on living the way you're living as he looks at your life as a whole. But if you're afraid that he couldn't say that to you this morning, you've got this opportunity to turn that around. You've got this time to turn it around. Father, I think as we stand before your judgment seat and see the revelation of ourselves, it'd be a very humbling time. But I also think nobody really knows what another person is really like, what we think, what our motives are. But your word, Lord, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so I pray, Lord, that your word, coupled with your Holy Spirit, would speak to our hearts so that we can know where we stand with you today. Not as far as salvation is concerned, but as far as stewardship is concerned. Help us, Lord, to know where we stand with you. And then, Lord, I pray that you would give us the humility, the grace, because you give grace to those that are humble. Lord, to work for you and to please you, not even to please ourselves or others, but to please you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.